Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
Come out. All right, take your Bibles. How many of you this morning are feeling willing? You're feeling willing. You don't know what I'm talking about. You know, willing to participate. How many feel willing to participate? Let me hear you just one time. Just say, praise the Lord. That's pretty good. How about amen?
Amen.
How about hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
If you would do that just a few times throughout the message, just to make sure that I know that you're still alive, it would help. Now, Cindy, I know that you can do that. Come on, help me out this morning. You see, when we get in this sanctuary that seats 1,250 people at least, and we scatter out like this, there's power, folks, in unity. That's not my message. I'm talking this morning about building a memorial life. Memorial means something that commemorates, something that reflects on something else. Building a memorial life to me is building a life that reflects upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That was one of those places where you said amen. This is really going to be slow today. Tell you the punch points. Did you know there's been 1,254,000 plus soldiers that have died for your and my freedom? That's a lot of men and women. Paid a price so that you and I would have the privilege of being in this house this morning by our own choice. As I said earlier, this is a day where we remember not just those who have died in the service for the country, but also those that have gone on to be with the Lord. Everybody leaves something behind by way of memory. I think of family members. You do this with me for a moment as well. And I remember back. And my dad had four brothers and sisters. There were five of them all together. And they were all passed away. And we were not around them a whole lot. My dad's brother and his wife and daughter, we were probably around more than all the rest of them. But on occasions like Christmas or something, everybody, they would stop by in the family gatherings. And so as a kid growing up, there was enough, I saw them enough to where I had images of them. I have reflections of their life. How many of you can do that with family members, even some that are gone? Yeah. You know, you just, well, like I'll give you one example. My great-grandfather on my dad's side, his mom's dad lived with them when I was young, probably passed away before I was 7 or 8 years old. But to this day, when I think of him, I called him Grandpa Ping. His name was Ping. And every time I think of him, I think of chewing tobacco. I can smell it. I mean, just like he's right here. I mean, I can smell it. Because he always had a cut of tobacco in his mouth. And I don't ever remember the man talking. I think that he did, but he, you know, my dad's family would get together on Friday nights, and everybody would kind of gather in at a little house on Minnesota Street in the south side of Indianapolis, and the men would all sit outside if the weather was even halfway decent on the big porch that was out there, and the women sat in the one room that existed in the house. And so he would sit over in one of those old chairs that kind of rock-like. They're not a rocking chair, but you know, when you sit on them, they sink down. Come on, folks. Some of you are old enough. You know what I'm talking about, I think. And he would just sit and then periodically spit. So I know that Grandpa Ping had a whole life. By the time my remembrance, he was retired. But that's the sum total of that man, to me, was him sitting in that chair, spitting across the banister, and smelling like a cut of tobacco. You know, as I stood at my dad's grave, Mom and I were kind of reflecting on different aspects of his life and things. Dad loved cars. And he took immaculate care of his car. If I drove up to his house and had dirt all over my car, I was sure to get some shame. You know, you're driving that thing around looking like that? Well, Dad, it's snowing outside. You know, no, I mean, just all the time. Inside and out was just spotless, everything. And you had to have Michelin tires. Come on, you don't have to try to have my thoughts, but I'm trying to stimulate you to remember somebody, and you remember specific things about them. And sometimes it's the sum total of what you remember about them. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about at least? You know, the next question is this. How do you want to be remembered? What will be the memorial of your life? To this guy, Grandpa Ping, the memorial of Grandpa Ping's life is a cut of tobacco. Sitting in a chair, spitting over a railing. I know that there was more to his life than that. But that's the piece that sticks. My dad's brother, my uncle, would sit down in a chair. He always wore a hat, indoors, outdoors, like a fedora. And it was always kind of cocked over to one side. And he would sit with his legs crossed and kind of hold court. Can't remember anything that he said or anything profound that he said or anything in that. I just remember that image. Him sitting there in the chair, kind of slouched down a little bit, legs crossed, and that hat sitting over there to the side. And he would sit there for a while, and then whatever the conversation was, then he would speak into it. And it was like when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. I remember my grandpa, about 5'3" or 5'4", had worked in a foundry all of his life. And when he was younger, I guess, was pretty ornery, liked to fight. By the time I knew him, he was a believer, and he would sit fairly quietly over to the side as all the younger guys all would discuss cars and carry on and everything like this. And then somewhere along in the conversation, Grandpa would go, "You all need to turn your hearts to the Lord. You're going to die and go to hell." And my uncle sitting over there with the hat on, crooked on his head, would go, "Okay, Dad, we know. Well, you're only going to get a chance, you know. You're going to go either heaven or hell. That's it. You make the chance now." Every single week, every single time that we were together, picnic or wherever it was at, somewhere along the line, Grandpa would make that proclamation to all who were his family that would listen, and they would always make fun of him. Or tell him to just shh. Only thing he would say. I cannot tell you one other thing that my grandpa ever said to me or to anyone else, but I can remember when he would speak up to the chagrin of all the family members. We weren't talking about spiritual things, but it was on his heart as he overviewed his family sitting out there. He was concerned about their souls. Praying for you. Okay, Dad. Every one of his children, my dad was a believer, the rest of them were not believers, but every single one of them confessed Christ before they died. I had several of their funerals. You know, this is important. I want just for a couple of moments to look through the lens, if you will go there with me, the lens of John the Baptist's life. How many know who John the Baptist is? Some of you don't. Are you just not being cooperative? How many know who John the Baptist is? Let's see. Okay. There's still about six of you that will have to be educated. John the Baptist was a forerunner of Christ. And he's very well known. Even among unbelievers will know who John the Baptist is. You ever notice that? They know who Judas is. They know who John the Baptist is. Many of them know who David is. Even if they don't know him by name, they know he killed a giant. Huh? Many will know who Moses. Yeah? A man by the name of A. Bronson Alcott wrote in 1877, he said, "One must have lived greatly whose record would bear full light of day from beginning to its close." That is, would allow for examination of a whole life. John the Baptist was that way. One of the few, actually, that we have in Scripture, that we have his beginning all the way to the end. And not a bad thing said about him. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? And it's interesting because at different times of the year and in different settings and in different circumstances, we go back to the memorial of this man's life and reflect upon it, because in all these various stages of his life, he lived it right. Or he lived on purpose. I want to use that word purpose this morning, because purpose is very important. I begin in Luke chapter 1, verse 11. Because John was born with purpose. Now you see, I believe that all of us are. How many believe that we're born with purpose? Yeah. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, that is Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and gripped with fear. The angel said to him, "Do not be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wow. Wow. There's a purpose. Again, I feel like not just the purposes that you and I may come up with ourselves, but I believe that every single one of us have a God-ordained purpose. I watch people as they, and I don't know, I mean, this is kind of a, maybe an unfair statement, but I see a lot of young men who struggle to manage life because they have never realized their purpose. And so they jump around from job to job and oftentimes in all different kinds of things to take the edge off of life, whether it be alcohol or drugs or what have you, and struggle. And it's because they have never found purpose. Just existing in life is not enough. It's not enough. It'll wear you out. Just trying to figure out in the natural, why am I here? What in the world is this all about? Because if you haven't figured this out, and this may be a revelation to some of you, but life is painful in a variety of ways. Physically, painful. Come on, can I get a witness? Emotionally, it's painful. The hurts that stack up, the things, sometimes the people that you pour the most into are the ones that you got to watch out because they'll catch you in the back, or at least slap you upside the head or something. And it is difficult spiritually. I think sometimes because of our desire to see people come to know Christ, that we paint a picture that is not really true. It is difficult to be a physical human being in a physical world and to live after the Spirit of the Lord. Because the conflict that begins inside of us, warring, if you will, the spirit against the flesh. Anybody know about that? That alone is difficult enough. But then try to just live out a Christian life. I won't go too deeply into this, but yesterday morning in Columbus, Ohio, I pull in to get gas, and I'm standing there pumping gas. And a fellow pulls up, nice car, sunroof, open on it. And he comes over and he said, he gave me a story. I need for you to buy my gas. Well, you know, I'm always concerned that an angel just pulled up next to me. My Bible says we entertain angels unaware. But even beyond that, I try to have a benevolent spirit. So I listen to the voice of the Spirit within me. And there was an immediate no. So I have learned to be obedient to that. And I said, I'm sorry, sir, I can't. Not today. He lit up and began cursing, carrying on, accusing me of racism, accusing me, and the rest of the time that I was in a van, and the rest of the time that I'm filling that van up, it took forever. He sat on the other side of the pump there, not even, you know, just hollering out through the sunroof, everything you can imagine. Sharon said, what did you say to him? I said nothing, because anymore you got to be careful. People pull out a gun and shoot you. But I couldn't help, you know, I'm thinking about this. Now, that man just memorialized himself to me. You follow me? I don't know what his purpose in life is. I don't know what he's pursuing. But I do know that in that moment, and for many more moments, I will remember that encounter. I remember his face. You follow me? John's purpose was set before he was even conceived. Listen to this. His name was given. His lifestyle was set. His profession was established. And his reputation was known. Wow. You know what? When I realize that, it causes me to wonder how many of us in God's realm knows all of that and would speak that over our lives if he knew that we were going to give him our life. In other words, that our name would be established before we're born. Mine probably was, because my dad, I'm a junior. And you know what was funny? Looking back, I don't know, my kids did one of those 23andMe things on me one Christmas, and looking back, there are William McKees dating way back into the 1600s, so it must have been a common name within our family line. But his name was set, his lifestyle was set, what he was going to drink, what he was going to eat. Doesn't it cause you just a little bit of a pause to wonder, I wonder if God had that kind of purpose over my life? Of where I would live, of what my name would be, of what kind of lifestyle that I would have, what my profession would be, and what my reputation would speak. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You know, I question that. I think, Lord, I understand that verse at one level, but at another level, I'm thinking, how many times God has a purpose and we don't fulfill that purpose? I mean, in individual things and even in lifetimes. I know a number of men and women who were called into full-time service for the Lord, but who made decisions along the way that they were not going to get enough money from the serving the Lord, and so they turned to other professions. I know that because knowing them as adults and seeing how miserable that they were because they never could find a groove in the church that fit, reason being because they were supposed to be a pastor of the church, but would not make that level of commitment. I feel for those individuals. Called to preach, called to full-time ministry, but made another choice. What was God's plan for your life before you were born? Ever think about that? Well, it was to be here. Huh? How many of you think God wanted you here on earth? Yeah. I think that was part of God's plan, that you would be here on earth. And the same God who had purpose for John is the same God who has not changed. He is still having purpose for men and women. John lived on purpose. One of the statements that man made to me on the other side of the pump that kind of perked up my ears was a statement that he said that Jesus was black. I will grant that he was not East, or he was not Western Europe, Caucasian. I don't know what color he was. But I, all of a sudden, with hearing that, I thought, I wonder if this man goes to church. I wonder if I just caught him on a bad day. I wonder if he had had a terrible fight with his wife before he left and needed somebody to take it out on. You see, John lived on purpose. Listen to this, John chapter 1, verse 19. Now this was John's testimony. When the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, "I'm not the Christ." They asked him, "Then who are you? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I'm not." "Are you a prophet?" He answered, "No." Finally, they said, "Then who are you?" He could have just said, "I'm John." But what did he say? "Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, "I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord." He knew who he was. You see, if you find out, if you search the mind and the heart of God, what is my purpose? What did you have planned for me before I was born? You can live your life. You can live your life under purpose. And church, let me tell you something. It changes everything. There have been people in situations where they frustrated me so bad. I wanted to come unglued. Come on. How many have been there? But you see, God called me. He called me out to be a pastor. To be a believer first, but also to be a pastor. And all of a sudden, his purpose for my life met head on with the frustration that I felt. And in that moment, in those moments, there's a choice that is made. That choice says, okay, they deserve to get it back. There's no question about it. They deserve to get it back. But my purpose pushes me to a different place. Honestly, it's my purpose that stops me in that moment. It's my purpose that God ordained in my life before I was ever born. It's my purpose that comes there as a stop sign and says, now evaluate this. And then scripture begins to come pouring in. Love your neighbor. Well, that's easy. Love those, pray for those who despitefully use you. Okay now. When someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other. Okay. All of a sudden, then the Word of God begins to come in and take priority over the situation. But it was my purpose that rises up first. It serves as the stop sign that everything evolves from this point. What are you going to do with your purpose? Huh? It really looks bad, folks, for the pastor of the church to be decking somebody. Now, how many already knew that? Yeah, see? I mean, if you heard that I was down here at the Chevrolet dealer and they frustrated me, and so I just hauled off and clocked somebody, wouldn't you be proud of your pastor? You would say, well, I'm really glad that he was standing up for himself. No, you wouldn't. Every sermon that I've preached, every prayer that I've prayed, everything that I have tried to love into your life would then come into question. Whoa. Who is this man? You understand what I'm saying? You see, our purpose can be negated in a moment. That's the reason why you have to know your purpose and then live that purpose. My purpose, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me. You see, he was tied up in that. He says, I'm not going to speak my own words. I'm going to speak everything that the Father has sent for me to speak, because I am here on this earth for purpose. John knew who he was. I am the voice of one calling in the desert. He didn't try to be more. You see, he could have said, well, you know, I am I'm the cousin of the Messiah, and, you know, you really should respect and listen to me because, you know, I have standing. He knew who he wasn't. I'm not the Christ. You know what that speaks to me? If you're looking for perfection, you're not going to find it. Are you a prophet? No. Just a voice. A voice unto purpose for God. A voice that is crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. He knew who he was, but he didn't try to be more than what he was. What does it mean when you tell people, I'm a Christian? You see, we need to be careful with some of this. I'm a sinner redeemed by grace. There's the truest statement that you could give. Because then people recognize that you are not trying to be more than what you are. I am a sinner saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times saying, I am a Christian says, I am Christ-like. Are you really? I think sometimes we need to check our words at the door because we're not able to really be Christ-like. We're still in tension with our flesh. We're still in tension with this world. And it's complicated. We must also know who we are. I sent poems today. Let me give you, I got two poems. Let me give you one by Edward Swanson. It's a poem called Myself. I live with myself every day. I know what I think. I hear what I say. My mind is to me a secret book. Its covers are closed. Other eyes may not look. Yet once in a while, I pass on a thought that comes from the pages so secretly wrought. Today I was thinking of thoughts high and low when my ship, mental ship, was caught in the flow of eternity's streams flowing deep and sweeping wide, and inwardly awed I silently cried, how great are God's thoughts, how solemn, how high. I cannot attain them though hard I may try. The caught in the vortex of sin and despair, I remember his words and utter a prayer. O God of dominion, eternal in power, remember thy servant and free him this hour from thoughts that are low to thoughts that are high, and lift my eyes to thy limitless sky. Stopping in the midst of your life to recognize the purpose of the Lord and to see, am I on purpose? John was on purpose. Question, are we? And then finally, in John chapter 1, verses 6 and 8, there came a man sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. That was spoken over John decades after his death. You see, John was remembered by the purpose fulfilled. When Zechariah, his father, named him John, he was still too little to understand that that had come from the Lord. But I'm certain somewhere along the line that his dad shared with him what God did beside the altar of incense. And he made a decision. This is important. John was given a choice of how he would live. He made a decision, just like every single one of us, to live his life on purpose, God's purpose, not his own. John could have followed his dad in the service in the temple. It would have been his right. Periodically throughout the year, he would have made his way to Jerusalem and he would have done his service in the temple, changing the bread, changing the lamps, putting the oil in, servicing, if you will, in the temple confines. It was a great honor to do that. It was serving the Lord, but it wasn't the purpose that God had for his life. John made a purpose. He chose the desert. He chose the isolation. He chose the food of simplicity. He chose humility. Why do you think that the scripture mentions that he wore, what was it, camel's hair? Some kind of hair. Would anybody really choose to wear a hair coat? And who in the world would choose locusts and honey? The honey part I got, but locusts? By the way, I did hear the other day that the cicadas, that there are some good recipes for eating them. You can roast them at 350 degrees for a period of time and then dip them down in chocolate. And they're supposed to be delicious and they're a great source of protein. Just see me afterwards, I'll give you the specifics. You understand? He knew that the message that he was bringing was going to be against mankind. It was going to be against society. As a matter of fact, it's what put him in prison because he spoke out. What was his job? His job was to preach repentance and to baptize people unto repentance. That is, he was calling out sin, and when the sin would be recognized in their life, they would come forward, and he was baptizing them that they would sin no more. Tough job. Turning men that don't want to be turned to Christ. John reaped the praise of the Son of God. Listen to this. Matthew 11, verse 7. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. Hey, what did he go out into the desert? What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. I tell you, more than a prophet. Remember John? Are you a prophet? He said, no, I'm a voice. What did Jesus say? He was a prophet and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. I tell you the truth. Listen to this. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Why? Because he fulfilled his purpose. Not his own purpose, but God's purpose for his life. Church, I'm telling you today, if you want the richest life, if you want the fullest life, if you want to be memorialized, if you want to be remembered for any eternal reality, get on purpose with God. So, well, Pastor, I haven't figured out what my purpose. Listen, if you're a person of age and you don't know God's purpose, it's going to be a struggle. Because that means that you have suppressed the purpose of God for your own purpose for however many years that you are. So that means that you have gotten accustomed to pushing it down and aside. So I'm saying to you, it could take you some time on your knees, on your face before the Lord, to find and come back to his purpose for your life before you were ever born. But if you get yourself connected to that purpose, you can finish your life in glory. Let me give you one quick example. You remember the little lady that came in with an alabaster box before Jesus' crucifixion? And she broke the box and poured it over the Lord's feet and over his head. And the disciples said, whoa, 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 whoa. That could have been sold and the money given to the poor. And Jesus said, stop. What she has done will be spoken as a memorial over her. But let me pause. Because you see, just before that, the man who was the Lord of the house, he said to another person sitting there, if he was really, talking about Jesus, if he was really a prophet, he would know what kind of woman that is that's doing what she's doing. You know what that says to me? That says to me there's redemption anywhere along the way. We don't have it in the Bible. The Bible, if these stories were all filled out, it'd be too long. We could never get through it. But I just wonder the rest of the story. What came over that woman? What message did she hear? Was it the voice of the Holy Spirit? Who sent her there? Somewhere along the line, she had an encounter with the God of purpose in her life and said, take your alabaster box, take the most prized possession that you have, and take it to where Jesus is eating. And go around behind him, and when his feet are stretched out behind him, you pour your most precious possession over his feet because it's your purpose. Jesus recognized it. He said, everywhere that this gospel is preached, everywhere that this gospel is preached, what she has done for me will be memorialized. It will be spoken of. It will be remembered. You say, oh, I'm too far down the path. Nothing could turn my life around and give me purpose. You don't know God. If you'll give him a chance, if you'll turn your life over to him, he will fulfill in you. It may be a single event. Just like that woman. One alabaster box. And a moment or two of obedience. And her life is memorialized. Come on, church. What can God do with your life? I am so thankful today my 68 and a half years have had much sorrow, incredible stress, incredible pain. But God blessed me so early on to show me his purpose for my life. And I said yes. Not once, not twice, but many times. Tempted to just go to something easier. There have been times that I was working on with my tools, and I thought, wow, this has got to be easier. This is hard work, but it's easier than dealing with all the other stuff. And the Lord says, but purpose. God wants to do something with you. I don't care how old you are. Get a hold of the purpose of God. How are you going to be remembered? You be my Grandpa Ping? Huh? I'm sure he had a full life, worked hard. I know he raised the family. I'm in his lineage. I never heard anybody ever speak about anything that he ever did in his life. He was just the present old guy sitting in a chair spitting tobacco. God has more for us. You understand, and I'm bringing my family into it figuratively so that you can kind of find a place of identification, your own life, your family's life. I'm going to end with one more poem by Henry Van Dyke. It's called Life. Let me live my life from year to year with forward face and unreluctant soul, not hastening to nor turning from the goal, not mourning for the things that disappear in the dim past, nor holding back in fear from what the future veils, but with a whole and happy heart that pays its toll to youth and age and travels on with cheer. So let the way wind up the hill or down, through rough or smooth, the journey will be joy. Still seeking what I sought when I was but a boy, new friendship, high adventure, and a crown. I shall grow old, but never lose life's zest, because the road's last turn will be the best. What God has in your road can be the best if you'll find his purpose. I'm confident of that. Would you pray with me? Father, I know by the confidence of your Holy Spirit that there are people in this room who have never, never sought and found your purpose for their life. And with that lack, they have struggled to feel relevant. They have struggled to feel worth. At times, they have felt incredibly empty and struggled with life. Some may have even thought of ending their life because they cannot find reason to continue the fight. I pray for them today. I pray for those who are not living on purpose for you. I pray that they would stop in their journey and find an altar here in this sanctuary or in their home or wherever, but God, they would find an altar and seek your face until they hear your voice and know your purpose for their life. And when their journey's done, may it be said of them that they walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. God, challenge us today. In these very few moments that we have together, challenge us today. That there is more to life. Your purpose, your very special purpose, can make our journey worth it all. Thank you, Lord. As heads are bowed this morning, I would just ask, is there anyone here in the sanctuary? You're not certain of the destination of your future. You do not have a confidence in the Lord Jesus, but this morning you would like to turn your life to Him. If that's you this morning, just lift up your hand because I want to pray with you. Yes. Are there others this morning? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father in heaven, I thank you for this one who lifted their hand today. They want to know you as Savior. Your word tells us that we are sinners, hopeless in our sin without you. But the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's hope. There's forgiveness as we confess you as our Savior. So I pray for this one today that, Lord, that you would find a place in his life, that as he confesses his sin to you, that you will forgive him, come into his heart, and give him incredible purpose. May this be a new day. In Jesus' name. And then, Lord, I pray without asking anybody to lift their hands, I pray for those this morning who have never found their purpose. May this be the day that they separate themselves and find a place and begin to pray that your purpose would be fulfilled in their life, so that they might hear at the end of their journey, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. Let me make you ruler over many. The words that are promised to those who live their life on purpose. Bless us now as we leave this house. We thank you for the hope that you give us. We thank you for your desire over our lives. We're encouraged constantly by the awareness of your favor and how much you care about us. Take us now on our journey today and bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. These altars are open if you would like prayer. We would love to pray with you. May you have a glorious 3-day weekend, what's left of it.